Hi again, everybody. This is Dr. Michael Wall, the Blood Detective, and welcome to this 13 to 15 minute health segment today, which will be part two of the acid-base balance lie. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So again, my name is Dr. Michael Wald, and I've been nicknamed the Blood Detective because I know blood. So this is something I do. I've done it for 26 years, working with patients with every known disease you can name. Every once in a while, someone will pop in with something I haven't heard of or haven't seen, but it's rare. And even if it's something I haven't known, there are certain basic fundamentals regarding health and repair, and pH does relate to them. So this is a very important topic, as many of you know. I just want to reiterate a couple of the important concepts we spoke about last time, but you'll need to go to my blog on the website at www.intmedny.com. Go to the blog section to download the show and listen to the show. You'll also see notes on the show as well, and post your questions and I will respond personally to them. So at the last show, I talked about that there are different pHs in the blood, the urine, the saliva, the stomach, the small intestine, the large intestine, the venous blood, the arterial blood. So when we say we want to become alkaline because alkaline is a good thing, that is a very silly and meaningless statement. Again, based on what I just said, there's a different pH, a different acid-base balance in different areas of the body. And the whole point of health is so that the body in all its wisdom and innate intelligence can manage this pH and the different pHs in all these areas so that enzymes work well, which run reactions and allow us to live. They activate nutrients. They help control inflammation. We need a certain amount of inflammation. We don't need an excessive amount of inflammation. It allows for repair. pH is ever important. And the pH is really the end product of the various organs contributing what they contribute into the blood. So, for example, breathing. Someone who is under stress or in pain tends to be a shallow breather. Shallow breathers do not blow off as much carbon dioxide. That carbon dioxide converts itself into carbonic acid, and that adds to a pH that is trending towards the lower end of the pH scale. The lower end, the lower the pH number, the more acid, the higher, the more alkaline or basic. You should know the pH scale is from 0 to 14. It's based on water being neutral at 7. Blood is an average between 7.35 and 7.45. Very, very tightly controlled. And when there's dysregulation or imbalance of that pH, even slightly one direction or the other, no matter what compartment of the body you're talking about, a pH difference in the stomach happens. For example, the pH increases too much, then a person doesn't activate their nutrients. A person may be more susceptible to bacteria, fungal viruses, and parasites from being digested in the stomach and making their way into the rest of the body. When the pH of the blood is a little too low, let's say 7.25, which is significantly low, that could result in calcium leaching from bones. That calcium's got to find a place to go. It circulates, it gets stuck in blood vessels, causing arterial sclerosis or heart vessel disease. That calcium can make its way into breast tissue, causing calcium-laden breast tissue, which we know can lend itself to breast cancer. That calcium can, since it is leaving the bones, results in osteoporosis or osteopenia. We can go on and on and on. pH is important. So the other misconception, I was going over misconceptions and answering them based on questions that you've all been sending me, has to do, does being alkaline promote detoxification? Now, all of us that have been listening to what I'm saying here for just the last 4 minutes already know that even just saying being alkaline is meaningless. Are we talking about the blood? Well, if that's true, why are most practitioners and most people monitoring monitoring their urine or their saliva pH? Now, I'm not saying there are not some health benefits in doing this, but we need to know why we're doing that, and we do not want to fool ourselves into thinking that somehow the blood pH and the saliva pH has anything directly to do with estimating the blood pH. So, in other words, if the body wants to secrete, get rid of acid toxins, it'll secrete them, let's say, through the urine. And by doing that, by throwing off these alkaline compounds, when the blood does that through the urine, because it's the blood that filters through the urine that has the urine pH be what it is, the blood may then be normal pH with acid products in the urine or an acid urine. Or because the body is secreting these acid products in the urine, the blood pH may be on the higher end of the scale, maybe 7.5 rather than the typical. So let me go back to that important question. Does being alkaline promote detoxification? Again, this is partially true because an alkaline urine helps the body get rid of certain drugs and environmental toxins that require elimination through an alkaline urine. But a lower pH, which is, to remind you, towards the acid side, helps eliminate many other toxins. Any detox effort must attempt to move the pH of the urine or stool or blood in whatever direction that favors elimination of whatever toxins you're speaking about. So by the way, these so-called detox programs that claim to be the ultimate detoxifiers, almost none of them manage or consider the pH issue that I'm discussing here. Many of them are not nearly complete enough, and the next show will be on what a true detox is. What does that even mean? There's again, a lot of detox deception out there as well as pH lies, and they are related. So it's important, though, that what I do, for example, is I will do testing to develop an entire metabolic map of my patients by looking at many, many organ systems, which of course relate to one another. They not only relate to one another, they're the same thing. It's only in medicine that there's this artificial compartmentalization of body parts, and then we try to figure out health and disease with that skewed perception of how the body works, and we wonder why we don't have a lot of answers to things. So the idea of holistic medicine is a good one, except we also have that problem there too, in my experience. That's a topic for another show. So I make a metabolic map of patients. I'll do over 150 different tests, a variety of systems, and I will use a computer program that I designed to help me figure out what foods and nutrients a person should need, looking at pHs, and how the pH affects many systems. If you change the pH, that doesn't mean, even in the place where you want that pH to go, that doesn't mean you've actually improved the health of the organ or organ systems or cells that you're trying to improve. So you must have multiple markers. You know, it's like the silliness with blood typing. Even if there was something to blood typing, which I doubt, why would I want to use one blood type test to figure out someone's foods when I can use 175 of them, plus my common sense and questionnaires and other technologies? Okay, next misconception. The best way to check acid-alkaline balance, or pH, is in the urine or saliva. Well, here's my answer. The best way to check pH in the urine or saliva is to check the urine or saliva pH. But the urine and saliva change their pH in response to organ changes like the kidneys and lungs mostly, but also from the liver, the cardiovascular system, lymphatic drainage, skin, and other tissues. All of these and other cellular components of the body, other tissues, do contribute to the pH. Blood pH does its best to maintain a very tight pH of around 7.4 and can only do this by throwing off in the breathing and throwing off in the urine and certain things through the skin, various acid and alkaline products so that the pH can maintain its very, very tight and essential pH range of 7.35 to 7.45. So what I do is adjust nutrition and lifestyle to move the pHs, you see, it's important you get that distinction. It's not just the pH of the body, which has no meaning, in the directions, in the saliva, urine, blood that I need, depending on what I have to do for that patient. If a person has a weak liver or weak kidneys, I'm not going to detoxify toxins through those organs. So I might have to adjust the pH of my methods to favor the detoxification of whatever I'm trying to get rid of through whatever organs I feel that the patient can handle. Remember, pH is not the cause of itself changing, but changes in pH are a response to many physiologic changes throughout the body. That is a million-dollar statement. Let me say it again a little differently. pH is not the cause of itself changing, but pH is a response to many physiologic changes throughout the body. Why would we want to just look at pH? We would not. So, another misconception, juicing. Juicing, let's say, healthy greens and multicolored veggies promotes alkalinity in the body. Well, maybe. No doubt that's healthy for most people, unless someone's allergic to a fruit or a vegetable or has diabetes, that might be an issue with let's say, bananas And by the way, not all sugar is the same, and most fruits are fructose, and that does not adversely affect people with not only diabetes, but even those with candida. Once again, another loaded conversation. That'll be a different show. But back to the question. If we juice, can this promote alkalinity? Again, maybe. No doubt healthy. I juice every day, multiple times a day, but I have patients who've done this, and their pH is a mess. So it's not only what we eat, but it's how we digest it, how we absorb it, how we utilize it, plus a bunch of other stuff that affects pH. So what I do is I have put together what I call a blood detective approach to maintaining pH, health, and disease. It has to involve several essential components. First of all, we need very, very, very good questionnaires of all body systems, because if we rely on people like myself, practitioners, just ask a bunch of questions, well, that's important, but we need to be organized. We need to consider and interpolate all of these different answers to questionnaires, sometimes many, many dozens of questions to figure things out and to point us to places. I do a nutritional visual exam. If I see that you have bumps on the back of your arm, I'm thinking vitamin A, I'm thinking protein, I'm thinking zinc, I'm thinking essential fatty acids. If you're losing hair on your head or your eyebrows, I'm thinking hypothyroid, I'm thinking hypoadrenia, I'm thinking a dozen different nutrients. These are considerations. We put them in context with questionnaire responses, and I do have comprehensive laboratory panel called the Blood Detective Longevity Panel. This is a panel covered by insurance. It is loaded with many dozens and dozens of biomarkers, essential tests that tell me, is what you are doing now working? Are you feeling better? Great. But are your various lab parameters that were abnormal or not optimal, are they trending towards the optimal and the normal? It's a lot more than just pH, but pH is important. So the takeaway here is that, yes, pH is important. When someone says to you, oh, we should be alkaline, you say, that has no meaning whatsoever. We should be acid in our stomachs. We should be alkaline in our mouths, alkaline in our small intestine, slightly acid in our large intestine. Our blood should be just to the left of neutral pH at 7.4, etc. So in order to move the pH in those areas, we have to affect multiple organs. The organs secrete things into and create the blood, which sets up a pH. And those organs therefore saute, in a sense, in that pH. And this feedback creates this homeostatic balance in the body, which is an imbalanced kind of balance. So these are difficult concepts. I would suggest you listen to the show a couple of times. Once again, you can find the show posted on my blog at www.intmedny.com. You can also call me for a consultation at 914-242-8844. I am Dr. Michael Wall, the Blood Detective. Please look at my book, Frankenfoods on the Dangers of GMOs, Genetically Modified Organisms, on Amazon. And I'm also the author of about a dozen other books, including the Anti-Aging Encyclopedia of Laboratory Tests. It's a 500-page manual for healthcare providers. I know lab, and I know pH, and I want to teach you what I know and make it practical for your health. So tune in with us for the next show next Wednesday for a 15-minute spot called Real Detox. Have a great day. Talk with you soon.